Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Kolder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why is there so much confusion in the world concerning the Bible, concerning Christianity, and it looks like it's splintered into thousands of different groups, which it has? But there are true churches of God. And those true churches of God are those who believe the Bible, who love God the Father and Jesus Christ, who keep the commandments of God, keep the holy days and feasts of God, and do not keep the days of the world. That's how you can tell the difference. So this is why you need the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? Now, we're very close to the time of what is called Christmas. And Christmas is not Christian. Now, we've got several booklets on that. One of them is Christmas, the Greatest Story Never Told, which is very interesting because it shows there is a whole chapter devoted in the book of Jeremiah against the Christmas tree. So you need to get that booklet so you can understand what does the Christmas tree really stand for? And why is this considered in the Roman Catholic Church one of the main festivals besides Ishtar? One other book you need to get, which is The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop. Now, this is a documented, detailed analysis of the paganization of the Christian church through the Catholic Church by adopting and accepting the pagans' practices. And you need to read that because it goes clear back to Babylon, ancient Babylon. And that's why it's called the Two Babylons. Now, in the book of Revelation, it is called Babylon the Great. And it controls, through its holidays, the whole world. Now then, let's continue on with the powers of the Pope. Now, here's another book I got years ago. The title is My Catholic Faith, which is a catechism book. And this is to teach all people coming in to be Catholics what the Catholic Church is all about. So, let's pick it up here on page 124. Now, we're going to be doing a good amount of reading here, which is necessary for you to understand the true thinking of the Roman Catholic Church. Little sidebar. If you don't think that this church controls vast countries in the world, ask yourself the question, why does every nation in the world have an ambassador at the Vatican? You think about that. Powers of the Pope, page 124. The power of the Pope extends over every single church, every single bishop and pastor, and every one of the faithful. Really? I thought that was the prerogative of Christ. Oh, yes. But the Pope is the vicar or replacement of Christ. So therefore, he has greater powers than Christ. Now you think on that for a minute. The Pope is supreme judge. To him belongs the last appeal in all places. The Pope is the teacher of all Christians, the chief shepherd of the shepherds and their flocks. The word Pope is derived from the Latin Papa, which means father, and we saw that where in Matthew 23, Jesus said, call no man on earth your father.
Viva Papa!
Viva!
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 So you see, what you're going to find out is this. If you really examine the Bible, and then examine the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church itself, you are going to find that they are directly opposed to one another. The Pope is independent of every temporal sovereign and every spiritual power. He is responsible only to God. Really? Here in America, you see, that's where they started arresting the priests who were committing pedophilia. Not in Europe, not in South America, not in any other Catholic country in the world. What is the temporal power of the Pope? Listen carefully. The temporal power of the Pope is his power to rule an independent state as sovereign. Now, that is the Vatican. Free and independent from other earthly sovereigns. The vastness of the Church and the greatness of its responsibilities toward its millions of members require that it should be able to communicate with them unhampered by any national government, free of foreign interference. Then it talks about how it came to be that way, beginning with Constantine, how then the Catholic Church had temporal states, right there in Italy. And then finally, in 1859, Victor Emmanuel II took away all the Catholic states in Italy and left only the Vatican, and the Pope was to be exiled in the Vatican. And that was true till 1929 when they signed the Lateran Treaty with Mussolini. All a part of the world, see? He's called the Bishop of Rome, so let's read some of the powers that he has. Bishop of Rome enjoys the following exclusive privileges. He has precedence of jurisdiction and honor over all other bishops. The Bishop of Rome's jurisdiction extends over all Christendom, so they're claiming authority over the Protestants. And that's why Rome's challenge to the Protestants is important for you to read, because they know that Sunday is the day they instituted it. So why then do the Protestants follow Sunday? Well, they are quasi under the authority of the Pope of Rome. Though they may deny it, yet their Sunday keeping confirms it. All right? He enjoys the exclusive titles of Pope, Sovereign Pontiff, Roman Pontiff, Holy Father. That is as blasphemous as can be. His Holiness, Vicar of Christ, Father of Christendom, but he calls himself the Servant of the Servants of God. Because of the words of our Lord to Peter, "Blessed are you, Peter, we address the Pope, Beatissimi Pater, the Most Holy Father." So if you're Catholic and disillusioned with the Church, you need to stop and think, what are you going to do? And we've got a book, Lord, What Should I Do? True Christianity requires studying and learning the Bible, praying directly to God the Father. Now let's look a little bit about prayer to show that you should never call a man the Most Holy Father. Let's come to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's see how we are to pray. And he tells us that we're to go to a quiet place and pray directly to God. And as we go through this, we will see there is no such thing as confessing your sins to a man, a priest. You confess them to God, because God the Father forgives through the sacrifice and shed blood of Jesus Christ. So let's read it here. Here's Jesus' teaching. But you, when you pray, enter into a private room, and after shutting the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that by multiplying their words they shall be heard. What is one of the penalties for sin? If you confess your sins to a priest, you give 200 Our Fathers. No, isn't that vain repetition? Or 200 Hail Marys. Those are vain repetitions. Now, first of all, Mary is not in heaven. That's another false doctrine. Wow. You're probably thinking to yourself, why did I ever become a Catholic? Well, you may have been born into it, and that's what you were taught. But God gives you an opportunity to come out of it. Like he says there in Revelation 18, come out of her, my people, that you do not be partaker of her sins. Verse 8, now then, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. But he wants you to ask him because he wants you to know that it all comes from him. Now notice what he says. Verse 9, therefore, you are to pray after this manner, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You pray it to the Father in heaven. Now, let's come here to John 16. You do not anywhere in the Bible pray to Mary. Nowhere.
O Mother Mary, full of grace, I surrender to you my wealth. I surrender to you my debts. Whatever fear I have about money, please remove this fear from my mind. Dear Lord, dear Mother Mary, please help me. I want money to flow freely into me and through me, that it might bless my life and the life of others. Whatever money comes to me, may it be used to serve you. Thank you very much. Amen.
That's a big satanic lie. Jesus said you pray directly to the Father, correct? Yes. Now, John 16:26, in that day, that means after his resurrection, you shall ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. That's why it's so blasphemous to say that a man is holy Father. That's a direct affrontery to the greatest sovereign in the universe. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. That's why right here, back to Matthew 6 again, verse 9, therefore, you are to pray after this manner, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Little sidebar for all sacred namers, the holy name of the Father in the New Testament is the Father. No other name. Your kingdom come. Now, there are two aspects of this. The coming return of Christ when he brings the kingdom of God, number one, and number two, the kingdom or the rule of God in your life. And how is the rule of God in your life? Through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest, and we'll get to that a little bit later, and through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God that comes from the Father. But you can't have the Spirit of God from the Father unless you repent and are baptized and keep the commandments of God. See? That's what it's all about. That's why we have church at home. You don't hear things like this if you go to a Sunday-keeping church. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts or our sins. We're to ask God to forgive our sins, not a priest. You know, and I always liked the one, the man went into the prayer booth and he sat down there and the priest came in and they have a little netted window and they have a little slide that closes it. So he opens the slide and he says, "Are you ready to confess your sins, my son?" And he said, "Yes, Father, but let's start with yours first." Think on that. All right. "Lead us not into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." Big thing you need to understand. Satan, the devil, rules this world. And he rules the religions of this world. And he rules the governments of this world by the permission of God. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," looking for the return of Jesus Christ to come. Now, let's continue on with some of the powers, the alleged powers of the Pope, and see how absolutely against Christ that these things are. Now, you need this booklet, William Tyndale, Father of the English Bible. Now, in this case, it's Father because he's the one who first translated it, not that he's being called Father in the sense of being a priest, having people look to him for these things. Let's begin right here on page 26. "The Pope, they say, being the vicar of Christ." Now, that means the replacement of Christ on the earth. Now, keep that in mind. "Through the whole world is instead of the living God," replacement of God, "that the dominion and lordship of Christ here on the earth would not have, that is, that universal jurisdiction, both of spiritual things and also of temporal, which double jurisdiction was signified by the two swords of the gospel, also by offering of the wise men who offered not only incense, but also gold to signify not only spiritual dominion, but also temporal to belong to Christ and to his vicar. The gold meant not that at all." See, because their interpretation of the Bible is false. To justify every teaching of man which is against the Word of God and claim it's of God. Now, how did that become that way? Let's read on. "For as we read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, as Christ says, all power is given to him, both in heaven and in earth." See, that power was given to Christ, not to be given to the Pope or to Peter. "So it is to be affirmed inclusive that the vicar of Christ has power on things celestial, which is on the earth, terrestrial, which is in heaven, infernal, which is in burning hell. For I owe to emperors no due obedience that they can claim, but they owe to me as their superior. And as I am superior to them, so am I superior," now listen to this, "to all laws and free from all constitutions, which am able of myself and by my interpretation to prefer equity, not being written before the law written, having all laws within the cleft of my breast." Now, they also say that they can dispense with the precepts of the Bible. Do away with them. Remember what we read before? Why did God tell the children of Israel? You should not go to the right hand or the left hand. You're not to do what the heathens do. You're to reject all of their practices. Remember at the end of the New Testament, it says, anyone who shall add to this these words or take away from these words. Okay? Let's see how the Pope views the world. All the earth is my diocese, and I, the ordinary of all men, having the authority of the king of all kings upon subjects. I am all in all and above all, so that God himself and I, the vicar of God, have both one consistory, and I am able to do almost all that God can do. It is said of me that I have heavenly arbitrament, that is, arbitration, and therefore am able to change the nature of things, and of nothing to make things to be, and of a sentence that it is nothing to make it stand in effect. In all things I desire my will to stand for reason. For I am able to the law to dispense above the law, and of wrong to make justice in connecting laws and changing them. Now, what a thing that is. That is wholly satanic in its whole perspective, see? Now, we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. Now, remember the temptation of Jesus, as we find in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, where Satan tempted Jesus and said, if you will worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Guess who he gave that to? None other than the Pope. But God took most of it away from him for the time being. But yet it's going to come again just before the return of Christ.
This is the world's smallest country. The Vatican City State is less than half a square kilometre in size and home to around 800 people, one of whom is the Pope. The Pontiff is not only the head of state, but is also head of the government of the Catholic Church, known as the Holy See. This institution has existed for the best part of two millennia and represents over 1 billion baptised Catholics worldwide. An old and secretive entity, the Holy See acts as a surprisingly powerful player in global diplomacy. The Holy See's ambassadors, known as nuncios, represent the Pope in 183 countries and have a permanent presence at the United Nations. Here, the Pope and his diplomats lobby other states to advance the Church's worldview. It argues against abortion and contraception, but also promotes peace.
Nations and rulers interacted with the popes over the centuries, and that has continued to evolve and to change in up to our modern times.
In Africa, papal envoys have mediated peace talks to end wars in Sudan, Ivory Coast, and Burundi, but it can also be dangerous work. In 2003, the nuncio to Burundi was assassinated by rogue rebel gunmen for his part in negotiating a peace deal, ending the country's decade-long civil war.
Pope Francis comes with his own particular experience of being a Latin American, being Argentinian, a pastor of a very big and important diocese.
Pope Francis is the first non-European pontiff in modern times. He was at the centre of one of the biggest diplomatic coups of this century, acting as an intermediary in talks between Cuba and America. These talks ended more than half a century of frozen relations between the two countries.
There has always been a tendency in the church to be focused on particular areas, Eurocentricism, North American centricism. I think what the Pope is trying to say is that let's have a global vision for a globalised world.
While there are calls to modernise the Catholic Church and the way it's run, behind the scenes, the Vatican remains a powerful force in global affairs.
Do you not see there manifestly expressed how not man but God alone separates that which the Bishop of Rome does dissolve and separate? Wherefore, if those things that I do be said to be done not by man but of God, what can you make of me but God? Again, if prelates of the church be called and counted of the Constantinus of gods, I then, being above all prelates, seem by this reason to be above all gods. Wherefore, no marvel, if it be in my power to change time and times, and to alter or abrogate laws, to dispense with all things, yea, with the precepts of Christ. You need to get this booklet concerning changing times and laws. Let's come to Daniel 7. Very interesting indeed. This was prophesied. This whole system was prophesied thousands of years ago and was enacted in the ancient world of paganism. Quite a thing. You need to understand that that which professes itself to be the one and only Christian church on earth is a complete and total biblical fraud. Daniel 7, verse 25, and he, that is the one who represented in prophecy the small little horn, which was the papacy, and he shall speak words against the Most High. Did we not just read those? Yes, against the Most High, against the Father, because the Most High in the Old Testament is the Father in the New Testament. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And didn't they do that? They slaughtered them, they killed them, they murdered them, they tortured them. And think to change the set times. Now, what are the set times? These are the appointed feasts of God. And how did they change those? They abrogated them and substituted Halloween, Christmas, New Year's, Easter, Lent, and so forth. And changed the Sabbath to Sunday. Is that not a fact? Now, what are you going to do? You need our book. Lord, what should I do? You also, since you need to know about which days you need to keep, you need the book called Holidays or God's Holy Days, which tells you all about the holidays of this world, though they are designed to help and be fun with children. Yes, indeed, by all means, let's indoctrinate them early, so they will live in a deceived world. That's the way Satan operates. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and I hope these words haven't been too strong against you, but if you've been caught up in all of this, you need to get our book, Lord, What Should I Do?, and see if you can get out of it. Okay? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Boulder saying, so long, everyone.